Well, good morning. We're going to open up the Word again, because I think that as cool as all the stuff I got to say, God's got better things to say than I do. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this morning that we get to come and worship you. We get to come and enjoy you. We get to come and enjoy friendships, new friendships, old friendships. Lord, you are the God of relationship. Lord, we thank you that you invite us to be in your family. Lord, to enjoy all the good things that you have for us. Lord, would you help us understand what you have for us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this series in Deuteronomy we're calling Promised Land Living. And I, the goal of going through the Bible really is to get to know God. You know, as you read it, you know, someone says, what does that have to do? Is we really need to the Holy Spirit to help highlight things for us. You know, some of you follow the reading plan that we have. And this morning, this last week, we've been in Hebrews. And I did a series in Hebrews, and I can't believe I did. As I'm reading Hebrews again, and I have to read it like 3 times, and I still don't grab a hold of the depth of what's going on there. And I preached through a series in it. And I just, it's like, really, Scott? What did you say? I feel like I want to go back and listen to the message. Because God is, he's simple and reachable and understandable to the youngest kid. I received the Lord when I was 4 years old. And I knew in that moment that I was going to see my little brother in heaven. I knew that my little brother was with Jesus. And I was going to get to see him someday. In that simple faith, did I know about the Trinity? Did I know about, you know, sanctification? Did I know that? No. I just knew that Jesus loved me. And he promised that if I trusted him, I was going to heaven. But I've spent the rest of my years still growing my faith and understanding. I just want to encourage us this morning to be listeners of the Holy Spirit. Listeners of the Holy Spirit. I think of some of you very familiar with John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We want to be listeners. As we read in Deuteronomy this morning, we want to be listeners. What is God trying to say into us? Like I said before, to not get all distracted by the what, because there is some stuff that we culturally don't understand as we read what the practice of worship was and lining out of what Promised Land Living was in that place and times. But we want to understand the why behind the what. And in order to do that, we need to listen to the message. Just like when your wife says to you or your husband, husbands usually don't say this, but when my wife says to me, are you listening to me? Let me grab your face. Are you listening to me? And I'm like, uh-huh. Well, what did I say? And I could tell them kind of what they said, but they know I'm not listening to the heart behind what's being said. Are you listening to me? Let's pick it up. Deuteronomy 18. You can follow up on the screen or in your Bible app or in your pages of your Bible. Deuteronomy 18. The Levitical priest, indeed, the whole tribe of Levi, are to have no allotment or inheritance with Israel. They shall live on the food offerings presented to the Lord, for that is their inheritance. They shall have no inheritance among their fellow Israelites. The Lord is their inheritance. Inheritance, as he promised them. This is the share due the priest from the people who sacrifice a bull or a sheep, the shoulder, the internal organs, some versions say the stomach lining, which is tripe, and the meat from the head. You are to give them the first fruits of your grain, new wine, and olive oil, and the first wool from the shearing of your sheep. For the Lord your God has chosen them and their descendants out of all tribes to stand and minister in the Lord's name always. Moses is saying, hey, listen. Hey, listen, Israel. The Levites don't get to have the same privilege that you do in the land. You guys are going to get a land inheritance, and there's markings out. If you read the Old Testament, there's places that say, from here, this mountain, to this valley, to this river, this is how we're going to separate. We're going to distribute all land to all 12 tribes. He says they don't have an inheritance. They will not be able to provide for themselves like you will. You're going to have this like acres of property that you can grow grain in. They're not. There's going to be 48 towns that are going to be placed throughout Israel where the Levites are to live, and they get to have some pasture land outside where they get to have just their immediate supply. And some people think, you know, also to care for the sheep that are going to be sacrificed. But they don't have a way to make their living. They don't have a way to provide. It says, I'm going to share with them. I want you to give to the Levites your share. What belongs to me, what you're bringing to me, the first fruits of your grain, the first fruits of your olive oil, your wool, so they can make clothing. I want you to give that to the Levites. I want that to be their provision. As you come into those towns, as you have first fruits of grain and wine and olive oil and clothing, I want you to share out of the abundant provision that God's given you. Because everything that you have, all the grain that you have, is a gift from the Lord. And so as they recognize that their gift from the Lord, that everything they have is a gift from the Lord, they should be giving out of thanksgiving. Just like I tell you guys, as we do offering, I don't want you to give because the guy next to you is watching, or the ushers are bouncing, you know, it's giving you the eye. It's like, hey, man, you better put something in the bag there. I want you to give because it's a joy. It's a thanksgiving. It's a privilege. But like Moses tells us, because the Levites can't provide for themselves like you do, what you give is going to be their provision. Be generous to the priest, just as God is generous with you. I'm going to share something with you that I pray that you won't take the wrong way. This last year, we have had a budget change. Our giving has dropped, and the council made a change about in April or so. April made a change to lower our budget, and so that meant that it affected our payroll. It affected how much money we spend on repair and maintenance, how much coffee we buy, you know, that kind of stuff, to just be really prudent about it. And so we went along. The problem was giving stayed the same. So we cut our budget and we maintained, but our giving didn't go up. So what happened, the budget deficit, you know, if you guys are on the envelope system, we were borrowing from our savings, okay? And so we weren't able to get out of that hole. And so for the last month, council said, we got to do something. And so we had to lay everybody off. And so for a month, none of us got a paycheck. And so what was really cool about that is that it brought everything back to the black. So we are at a good place. You know, we're not floating in money, but we're not underwater anymore. And so I say thank you, Lord. I say thank you for that. But I just kind of share, because if you want to be a pastor, you don't do it because you want to be rich. Okay? I'm able to do what I am because my wife has a good job. Okay, and I say, praise the Lord. And so we had savings that we were able to use that month that I didn't get a paycheck, because we needed it to get by. So I say that because I don't want you to get the bad idea. But I want you to know that for you to pray about, it's like, what's God talking to you about giving? You know, because it is a response of thanksgiving. You know, once you recognize God's given you what he has. In fact, Paul talks about the debt. The only debt you should owe somebody is a debt of love. Can we ever repay God for his love for us? No, that's the only debt we should have. So I just think about it. I haven't wanted to share this with you because I didn't want anybody to feel manipulated into giving. But just as I did this sermon, and I was just this one part here is ironic. I was like, all week, I was like, God, am I supposed to say something or not? And I just felt like Holy Spirit said, yeah, you need to be real. God, you're always trying to say how real community is, right? Building community is like, this is part of being real. It's like, this is where we are. This is what we've done. And it's really cool, just as we've seen, you've seen a few new faces here that we haven't seen before. That God is doing some cool things here. God is working. God is touching people's lives. And a piece of it is just like, you know what? We trust God. I honestly, and counsel asked me, are you okay with this? You know, he's like, I wish we didn't have to do this, but we agree. We don't see another way. I said, yeah, I'm okay with this. Because I trust God. This is going to sound terrible, but I don't trust you guys. I trust God. I trust God to take care of me. There is no doubt that God will take care of me, that will supply all my needs, that he's an abundant. I have learned and am continuing to learn that it is so much cooler to let God bless me than go get my own blessing. I love the blessings that God's given me. I was kind of blown away. You know, a few weeks ago, Pat went out and got some cards that you guys signed. And I just sat down there and just read it. I just read each other little notes that you guys have. You know, and it kind of like, it's like reading a yearbook some way, you know. You're cool, have a cool summer. And some were just really thoughtful. And it was just, but every note, every name that was signed was so refreshing, so encouraging. It was just, it's just like when your friends just say, I like you. You know, even, I care about you. I know your name. You know, just reading through those. It was so encouraging. It was my family that you're loved. And it's not like we didn't feel like we were loved. But there's something special about having a card to say, we love you, we care about you. And then the week later, we got an envelope with a bunch of cash in it. And we just said, Jackie, I said, I just hope, you know, you don't mind. I said, but we're just going to put this just spread it across. We take our check, and it gets spread across our envelopes. We have a digital envelope system. It's not a physical one anymore. But we just say, you know what, we're running the hole because of not having the income that we usually have. So I just said, I'm just going to take this, and we're going to spread it through all our envelopes. So we have enough for groceries, have enough for utilities. And so we just said to that, she said, are you okay with that? She goes, yeah, that is great. But it meant a lot. And I know it's a lot of you guys, he's like, what do I have? And you gave it. And it was a blessing to us. But I hesitate to even bring this up because I don't want you to think that church is about needing your money. Because, you know, that's a complaint people have. There's a bunch of hypocrites there, and all they do is ask for money. The reality is, if I don't give, if you don't give, we miss out on God's blessings. It is a response of thanksgiving. And just like Moses is pointing out here in Deuteronomy, he says, you guys get to give, and what you give to me, I'm going to give to the Levites. That's going to be their provision. So when you give, it's not going into this. We're really open about our finances. We do a business meeting once a year. We're just transparent about what goes to salaries, what goes to office supplies, what goes to ministry, what goes to benevolence, what goes to missions. We're transparent. It's not a secret. We want to be good stewards. The council that we have, the five that are on council, are council that you guys have elected, that come from our body. That are faithful givers, that are part of this body. Let's go on. That's enough. Okay. I'll leave that one. Let's go on. Verse 6. If a Levite moves from one of your towns anywhere in Israel, where he is living and comes in all earnestness to the place the Lord will choose, he may minister in the name of the Lord his God like all his fellow Levites who serve there in the presence of the Lord. He is to share equally in their benefits, even though he has received money from the sale of family possessions. Every Levite You know, you take the gist of what's being said. Every Levite gets to equally share in the benefit that God has for them. It doesn't matter if they weren't from Jerusalem. We know later that the place the Lord will show them was Jerusalem. And so you have all these 48 cities where Levites live. They're saying, you know what? I want to move to Jerusalem. I want to be close to the center of where God is. I want to minister in His presence. I want to move there. So they come to town, and just like us today, when somebody comes from out of town, we're like, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, and so what Moses is writing said, listen, you need to share those blessings, because they're reaping the benefit of it. As people brought all their first fruits to Jerusalem, as people brought their offerings, they got the benefit of some of those that didn't get burnt up, didn't go to Aaron, the priesthood, and so they got the benefit. And he says, it doesn't matter if this wasn't where they started. It doesn't matter if they moved. In fact, it's kind of a bizarre thing. It says, from the sale of any family possessions. And I looked in some of the commentaries, they're like, we're not really sure what this means. You know, but I'm thinking, maybe he had a moving sale. He said, you know what? This isn't temporary. I'm moving to town and I got some cash in my pocket. And so he sells the mattress and the cupboard and whatever. And so he moves to town. He's got money in his pocket. And he says, it doesn't matter if they've got money in their pocket. They get to share equally with the benefits that the Lord has given them. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, believers get to experience the blessing of the priesthood. Here's what I'm talking about. And some of you are familiar with 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. As believers, you and I are part of God's priesthood, just like the Levites. And it's so bizarre, because most of us feel inadequate. How many of you feel like you got it all together? Anybody here? Most of us feel inadequate. We feel like we've done some things that have disqualified us. And God says, because of my Son Jesus, because of your faith in Him, that covers us, just like we talked about celebration and communion, that covers our sin, that qualifies us, we are qualified, not only just qualified, called into the priesthood. That there's a word that we kind of don't have an understanding of anymore. It's the word vocation. We think, hey, what's your vocation? We think, oh, what? My job. That's what you're talking about. It's not. It's different than that. Our vocation is our God-given calling. What He's called every believer to is a vocation of priesthood. Every single believer is now a member of the priesthood. It's an incredible concept that's just hard to wrap our minds around. But the reality of what is true about Jesus because of our faith in Him is true about us. We're righteous. We're satisfying to God. We're loved by Him. We're qualified. They use two words, as we just read in Leviticus 6 through 8. He talked about these Levites who serve, who's in the presence of the Lord. And they stand in the presence of the Lord. It means, as I stand and you stand as priests, that we're carefully listening to what God has to say. We're standing for a purpose, to listen. They come into the presence of the Lord to listen to what God has to say, and committing fully, say, I'm committed to doing what you asked me to do, God. We're not just listening to hear what He says. We're listening with our hearts. Like, what are you going to call us to do? I'm committed to doing your will, as we are royal priests called to serve in the presence of the Lord. We're not just called to serve in the presence of the Lord, we're called to serve in the name of the Lord God. What does that mean? It means that we have His authority. We have His authority to walk out the kingdom. We have His authority to do what He asks us to do. We have His authority to drive out the evil, to drive out things that don't belong. We have His authority to carry that responsibility to represent Him to an unbelieving world. Really, just think of that authority is to represent Jesus who He is, represent His glory. It's kind of a Christian kind of word. You don't say, hey man, I really like your glory you're putting off. It really has to do with representing a reflection of who God is, His glory. In the New Testament, Philippians, it talks about the glory of those of people's sin. The glory of, if you look at somebody who chooses to live their own life and disobey every single thing that's good, what is the glory of their life? The glory may be a broken family, maybe jail time, it may be addiction. As priesthood, we need to represent God's glory, right? Which is peace-giving, which is loving, which is encouraging, which is hopeful, which is future-giving. All those things that we're called as His priest to represent His glory. Those things that we've been given the privilege to participate in. I just kind of blown away. I'm thinking, man, that sounds really good, but I don't want that responsibility. To represent God, how do you wear that? That you are God's priest, royal priesthood, a holy nation, to represent God. Does that feel like a little crushing, a little overwhelming? It's like, just like president, you know, we can complain about the president, but not one of us wants that job. What's amazing about the royal priesthood, it's Christ in us that is our hope of glory. It's in our brokenness. I just reminded of just the illustration yesterday. One of the speakers yesterday talked about those earthen vessels that we're described. Paul describes that earthen vessels, meaning like a clay vessel. But the reality is, when you talk about broken and needy people, that those vessels are all cracked. That when you put the light of the Holy Spirit, the light of God inside of it, people get to see who Jesus is, what? Through our brokenness. I just thought that was such a great picture, reminder. It's like, man, that's why I don't have to be perfect. It's like, you know what? It's Jesus that's perfect. It's not me. He's the one who's redeeming me. He's the one who's changing me. He's the one who's impacting the world. I don't want that responsibility. God, I'm going to leave that up to you. Let's go on. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or cast spells, or who is a medium, or spiritist, or who consults the dead. Verse 12, anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. He's talking about these nations that God is dispossessing. And when I just summarize these few verses, we talked about listening. as God is speaking, I call this listen for the voice of preparation. When you enter the land, you're going to see some stuff that isn't right, isn't good, is anything but who I am. These people are going to look for a power that has the power to do things, but for their own benefit. How do I manipulate? How do I do things to get somebody to do what I want? And you think about sacrificing your children? You know, casting spells, consulting the dead? These are the things that these people are doing to try to get these gods to do what they want them to do. In contrast, worshiping God is about listening to His direction, listening what He wants us to do, not the other way around. Worshiping God is our response to the good things that God has already done and promises to do. It's such an opposite of what the world does. They manipulate, you know, and even I think some of us, we have this religion. And somebody, again, it's a definition that some of us heard. Religion is man's way to get to God, and Christianity is God's way to get to man. It's like, I want to worship God for who He is and what He wants, not for what I want and for my benefit. It's weird. Why would Moses even have to say, don't burn your kids in fire? I mean, isn't that kind of obvious? Isn't it kind of obvious? It's like, why do you even have to say that, Moses? This is the most specific and lengthy list about the, you know, sorcery and reading omens and casting spells that there is in the Old Testament. It's if we don't continually address the obvious will cease to be obvious. You see it in the world, the things, just even, you know, 20 years ago, what you thought was obvious is no longer obvious to the world. The things you go, that's not right. You shouldn't do that. Identifying the lie, that's not truthful. That's not loving. That's not wise. I drove my kids crazy. We watch movies together, and you'd see kids disrespect their parents or do something secret. We'd say, that's not a healthy relationship. That's not right. Then in my biggest pet peeve is when somebody in the movie says, I promise you'll be okay. I'm like, they can't promise that. And my kids would say, Dad, stop. Let's watch a movie without you. But I just say, like, they can't promise that. There's only one person who can make a promise like that, and that's God. But I think as I just practice, like, that's not a healthy situation. That's a terrible way to respond to a spouse. That's a wrong thing to do. You shouldn't keep that a secret. Because if I don't identify those things that are wrong, that don't bring health, that don't bring a future, those things that were once obvious will cease to be obvious. Make the choice now how you're going to live before the Lord your God, before you even enter the land. Listen to the voice of preparation. When's the best time to make a decision about how you're going to live? While you're in the middle of the temptation or before you face it? When is the best time to decide you're going to go to church? The night before or the morning of? As if I did, I would still be in bed. I would still be enjoying tangling legs with my wife. Promised land living is proactive, pre-planning, and intentional. Preparation means understanding. It's like, where does that come from? I'm just going to take a little side trail talking about what I call the reservoir of thought. All of our experiences, everything we do, our education, our family, the jobs we have, the friends we have, all those things feed what I'm going to call our reservoir of thought. Our entertainment, our worship of who God is, all those things contribute so that when a situation comes, it's always feeding. So we have these thoughts that come out of those places. You know, just if I'm thinking about and experiencing unhealthy relationship, that's where my mind's going to be. You have a problem with your thought life? What's feeding your reservoir? You have a problem with anger or lust? What's feeding your reservoir? When I talk about feeding your reservoir, all those things, we have tributaries coming in to that reservoir, those places that are feeding. I think about Matthew 15 when Jesus talked about, it says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Those things in the reservoir. Jesus calls them our heart. But those things that are feeding. Another place in Luke, Jesus describes it like this. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know, just if I am stressed out, I know I'm thinking about stressful thoughts. I'm thinking about the stuff I wished I was done or had figured out or did better. That's what's stressing me out. And saying, God, you got this under control. You've got this figured out. I don't. Just like I talk about our finances. Seriously, I am not stressed out. I know that God called this church on the corner 5th and C. I know without a doubt that for this season that he called me to be here. God knew what he was getting into. God knew when he called you to this place. God is doing a work. God is doing something good that he intends to bring out of it. I am not those kind of thoughts. And just even if I practice those things, sometimes I, you know, when I do, you know, somebody needs counseling, they're or just encouragement, they're going through a hard time, I will tell them things, and as I'm telling them those healthy responses, it's preaching and teaching and settling my soul. Sometimes I'll go home and I'll treat my wife extra tender, and she goes, why, what happened today? I'm like, oh, I talked to a young couple about their marriage, and I just told them some things, and I just reminded that I need to make sure that that's happening at home. We need to... What we put into our minds is so important. The Holy Spirit was given as a helper to come alongside us to live life. I need to ask the Holy Spirit, would you help reveal sinful attitudes and things that don't belong, that are feeding things of my thoughts, my behaviors? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There's a process. It's like, God, would you show me what's standing in the way of what you want to do? You know, I want to see this to be a healthy church. I want to see this to be a healthy community. And, you know, as I want that for our church. It means I got to practice it. I practice that with my neighbors. You know, we've done some cool things, but it doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional about inviting people to our house to have a meal. We got to go meet with somebody one-on-one so we feel we can ask some hard questions and be vulnerable with them It doesn't just happen. Holy Spirit, would you show us where those things need to be cleaned up? Holy Spirit, would you show us those sources that are polluting my reservoir? Would you help me stop up things that shouldn't be getting into? It's like, where did that come from? Holy Spirit, would you show me where I'm spending the things I'm thinking about, what I'm doing that's polluting? Holy Spirit, would you open up new streams? There's things that we need to open up and say, God, there's new places. I need to have new friendships. I need to have new conversations. I need to be reading some books, watching some new movies, listening to some podcasts, thinking about some things to bring in fresh, clean, life-giving water into my reservoir of thought so that what comes out of my mouth represents something that's life-giving and real. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That doesn't just happen. It's like, what's feeding our reservoir? You know, you can read a verse and say, yeah, that sounds really good. You know, and then you go on to be unforgiving and hateful to somebody who hurt you. Or you feel worried and stressed out about how you're going to pay the bills at the end of next month. What's in your reservoir? Listen to the voice of preparation, so that when those circumstances come up, you're prepared to respond in a life-saving way. Let's finish up this last few verses. Verse 15 to the end. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must not listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord. You must listen to him, for this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when he said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord your God nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, Moses is talking, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. Verse 19, I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? If a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously, so do not be alarmed. I call this listening I call it listening to the voice of God. I just didn't know if I changed it or not. Listen to the voice of God. Really, we're listening to the Holy Spirit. We're listening to God's Spirit planted in every believer. Who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to look to for direction and wisdom? We don't have to jump through hoops to get to God to talk to us. God wants to talk to us. He just needs people who will listen. God promises to speak to us clearly and unambiguously. That the challenge is that God speaks in his time and in his ways. That's a challenge, because sometimes we want an answer. We want an answer right now. And God knows that we are physically present, but we're not spiritually present. And he's just going to wait. He knows when our heart is going to be ready to listen. But God isn't trying to be mysterious. He's not waiting for you to jump through some hoops to get everything straightened out. He's waiting for you to be ready in a place to listen to him. God speaks graciously to his people. We don't need to resort to witchcraft or black magic or talking to the dead. Moses tells us, God, I promise I'm going to send somebody to speak to you. I promise, and a lot of scholars look ahead not only to just the judges that came that weren't so impressive, some of them were really terrible, but then Samuel came. He was a judge, he was a prophet that gave Israel direction. But ultimately, people look to who was the one, the prophet that's going to speak. It's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, as He is planted in our hearts, that we get to hear that voice. And there's an enemy of our soul that wants to drown out every quiet word that God speaks. And there's confusing. I think about 1 John 4:13. He warns us, says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There's a responsibility. You know, we would love it just to be easy, just like right and wrong. When I went to seminary, our professors did their best job of putting out putting out the word and saying, "Listen, here's what some people think this means based on this theology. This is what some other people think based on this." And they wouldn't tell us what to believe. And they said, "Well, that's a good thing. It's seminary. It's graduate level. You should be able to think for yourself." And it was so funny because there's some people that just tell me which one's right. Kind of like, I don't want to mess with thinking this through. Just tell me which one's right. And so we just all laughed. There was a bunch of us because we were in school for a year for 8 hours a day on Friday afternoons. And you get to know people. And so there's a community of people who knew each other. And so one of the guys was a graphic arts designer. And so he said, "I'm going to make a shirt up." And he made this shirt up. And it was a cartoon character. And the title of him was Good Boy Theology. It's like, there's this a good boy, and this is what you think. But God wants us to love Him and understand who He is. He wants us to test the spirits. I can remember when a couple different times where I believe God called me out. One was to come back to Oregon and leave a good paying job down in the Bay Area in California. And I had a friend, acquaintance, who said, "Scott, what are you doing? Why are you leaving this place? Why are you leaving?" It says, and I that was a great question. For me, I was leaving because I believed that was not a good place for me to be in that company, for one. I'm very materialistic. I have a weakness for that. And I had my eye on a house on the river in the Sacramento Delta that Jackie and I went to buy. I like all the BMWs and Mercedes and nice Lexuses that drive down there. And I saw where money took people. I saw the affairs that were happening in our office. I saw the just the tragedy of life. And I could see the trajectory that if I stayed there, that was my future. And so I left there, and people were like, "Why are you leaving this job? Everybody likes you. You do a great job. You get paid. Well, why are you leaving?" Because a guy called me and says, "You need to get out of here." The next time I can remember was when I decided to, began to explore stuff outside of business. I had my own business up here in Oregon. And I went to seminary, and I was really fascinated. One of the semester was in pastoral counseling class. Only you met with two other would-be pastors and just guys in my class, and we worked through some issues, and I was like, this is really good. And I remember going down to Southern California and sharing with the wife of my friend who had gone back and got her master's and was a counselor, and she said, "That is so cool." And her husband, who is a really good friend of mine that I grew up with, he said, "Why the heck you want to do something like that?" He says, "That pays terrible." He knows, because his wife was working, you know, in counseling. He says, "You don't want to do that." So those voices don't just come from like people who are like are looking to take you out. Those voices can come from your friends, who from their perspective, they're thinking they're giving you good advice, trying to save you from the pain of a career that doesn't pay. But I realize, and just like this morning, I wasn't looking for a career. I was looking for a vocation, a place that God called me to be. It wasn't about making money. Voices. Listen to the voice of God. I'll end with this last one. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. The reality is we have powers and principalities in this world that we need to stand against. We need to pay attention to. There is no limit to the way you can destroy your life. I mean, think about it. Pick your poison. There is no limit to the way you can wreck your life. You know, drugs, money, and sex, just to start. And there's an endless variety of that. I just was reminded yesterday, just the reality is that the road to destruction is what? Wide. And it's easy. In fact, Jesus said, many. In fact, another word is the majority of the world will travel that way. The majority. God's not willing that one should perish, that nobody. What does he say? He says, but narrow is the gate and the road that leads to life. Narrow. And only a few will find it. The minority. It's a reality. It's not that the people who find it are any better than anybody else. It's the people that find it are listening. We started this morning, right? The sheep. My sheep, hear my voice. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you're speaking today. Lord, I just ask myself, am I listening? Lord, you're speaking stuff to our hearts that changes our trajectory for eternity. Lord, I pray that we would realize that when Moses talked about this stuff, he wasn't trying to bring a bunch of law and burdens on people. He was saying, this is what you got to watch out for. This is what you need to be ready to defend yourself against so that you don't fall into the trap that these other nations have fallen into. Lord, I preach that to myself, and I preach that to my brothers and sisters here this morning, whether young or whether old. Lord, that we would have hearts that are prepared for the battle, that we're preparing today for that temptation and challenge that's going to come tomorrow. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to listen because yours are the words of life. You're the words that matter. Lord, I don't want any of my in my neighborhood to not be welcomed in your kingdom. But I also recognize that I want to make sure that I'm committed to listening to your voice and obeying. In Jesus' name, amen. If God's talking to your heart, we have some folks that would love to pray with you. Yeah, that'll be up here in a minute. You know, a decision that you guys have made, and just you can ask them something, you can be specific, or just tell them, say, this is really private. You know, they know that, but just to comfort you and to know that what you share with them stays with them. Not, they don't even tell me. It shares between you and them and the Lord, but just have somebody pray with you. Lord bless you guys. Enjoy this gorgeous fall day. Amen?